I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for three stories you should know.
Our country's an embarrassment in the world. I wonder what the people think about who voted for him, where their line is, how much they can take.
That is Spurs coach Greg Popovich, who has been a frequent critic of President Donald Trump, and that's where we're going to start this week. My guests are The Wall Street Journal's Rachel Bachman and The Atlantic's Eric Malinowski via Skype. Welcome back, Rachel.
Great to be here.
And Eric, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Eric, why don't you start us off?
All right. So, yes, Greg Popovich, he's been quite the vocal critic of this current administration for going on a year plus now. And so this has got me thinking a little bit about Greg Popovich and sort of the end game with all of this, because he has been pretty vocal about this. This is a guy who, you know, called up Dave Zirin of The Nation unsolicited, you know, just to tell him that Trump is a pathological liar and then hung up, you know, gave all these quotes and then, you know, said goodbye and had his say. So this is a very purposeful campaign by Greg Popovich. And you've seen this in other corners of the NBA with his protege Steve Kerr of the Warriors and LeBron James and some of the other players in this league. But it's interesting because Trump has not dignified Popovich's comments in any way. And so I feel like, you know, with the recent election here, I feel like progressives and liberals probably feel very empowered with the direction that the country is headed. You know, I think the Trump administration, their grasp seems pretty tenuous as time goes on. And so I feel like we're only going to see escalation in the intensity of all of this. And so I'm just curious, if we game this out, what does this look like over the next 6 months, perhaps a year? What do we think the next year is going to look like in terms of the war of words between Popovich and this current administration?
Rachel, you want to take on a little Nostradamus for us?
Well, one intriguing question is whether Popovich would ever consider running for office. He would be a fascinating candidate, you know, a graduate of the Air Force Academy. He climbed the rank of major, I believe. He served in the reserves after he finished. I think he's won 5 NBA titles with the Spurs. They're in contention again this year. And he's also in a deeply red state, which certainly makes his comments even more interesting. But it's also a state that has become a little more tumultuous given the recent political climate. So that would be a very intriguing candidacy, whatever he chose to run for, if he ever did.
Yeah, he's also working for an owner and an owner's wife who have contributed about $500,000 to Donald Trump's fundraising committee. So, you know, there's a certain amount of courage involved in speaking out this way. I have to admit, Eric, I was hoping that what you were going to do with this topic was break the story that Pop for President was, in fact, in motion and that fundraising had begun and the bumper stickers would be in the mail shortly. But I gather you're not quite ready to do that yet.
Well, I do drink my coffee most mornings out of a mug that says Popovich Kerr 2020. So I'm just going to say I'm just going to keep hope alive and we'll just see what time brings us.
For our listeners who perhaps have not been entirely current with the news, Steve Kerr, coach of the Warriors, is the other coach who has spoken up quite a bit along very much the same lines as Coach Popovich. Rachel, your turn.
Well, speaking of the military, the U.S. Army is proposing a radical overhaul of the physical fitness test that all soldiers have to pass every year. The current test has been in place since 1980, when people thought that combat was basically obsolete. We'd all have nothing but nuclear battles. So we're moving from potentially sit-ups, push-ups, and a 2-mile run to a 6-event test that includes multiple weightlifting events, including a run with 40-pound kettlebells and a deadlift of well over 100 pounds. So this would be a significant change in and of itself, but another change is even more radical, and I stress these are just proposals, but they're getting close on this, and that would be to eliminate gender-based standards, meaning that there would be one uniform set of standards that all soldiers would have to pass, no exceptions for gender or age. This would be the first Army-wide test that did not make exceptions for gender. And this is really reflecting an Army that now has opened all jobs to women, including combat roles. And I'm curious what you gentlemen think of this radical shift toward a much more physical test and potentially equality of the sexes.
Okay, Eric, I'm going to invite you to put one or both feet into your mouth first.
I'll touch all three rails at the same time. First of all, I think it was a pretty shocking admission that the current testing is only about 40% predictive of a current soldier's ability to perform the tasks that are required of them. And I guess it's really great that this new testing standards would essentially double that to 80%. I think that it's all pretty positive, and it sounds like they're heading on the right track.
I hope that the best of this does in fact come to pass, that people are happy with the new tests and the new exercises, and it sounds like people may even get healthier trying to do these things. And I hope it stays at that level and that we don't see a lot of people heading into combat to test these skills. I feel a little bit like I do when somebody says to me, how do you feel about women boxing? And I say, I'm against it. And they say, well, then you're a sexist. And I say, no, I'm not. I'm against men boxing as well. I don't see why anybody should get their brains scrambled for money, and we should provide them all with better ways to make a living. But I'll let you wrap that up, Rachel, and tell me that I'm full of beans.
No, I think there definitely are some concerns about this. I spoke with one man, actually, who was concerned that women could be discriminated against if they couldn't perform well enough to test into certain jobs and so on. So that's definitely a risk.
Okay, it's my turn, and I want to talk a little about Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He is making noises about suing the National Football League if Commissioner Roger Goodell is offered a contract extension by the NFL's Compensation Committee after the 2018 season. An unnamed team executive, surprising that this guy doesn't want to go on the record, has been quoted as saying that a lot of owners are not happy with Roger Goodell, but it's only Jerry Jones who's talking about suing the league if they plan to continue to employ him. I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to don your judicial robes and tell me whether you think this is a frivolous lawsuit or whether you think this lawsuit has merit. Rachel, you first.
Well, I'm going to defend Roger Goodell here, believe it or not, and that is because I think that the challenges he's facing, whoever's sitting in his seat would have to face, and they're not easy. The anthem protests are very divisive. They're just a difficult issue to handle, given the strong feelings on both sides. Certainly, Jerry Jones was very upset about the handling of one of his players, Ezekiel Elliott, and he claimed that Roger Goodell overreacted in punishing him for an alleged domestic assault. And he might have, but he was responding to a previous impression by the public that the NFL was not tough enough on domestic abusers. So, you know, whoever's in that chair is going to have to make some incredibly tough decisions, and some of them are going to be dead wrong. And I don't think that necessarily changing him is going to make them easier to resolve.
Eric, Rachel seems to be suggesting that Mr. Jones may be responding to a personal insult and didn't want his player penalized as seriously as the commissioner penalized him. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, I can't imagine why somebody would think that. I'm completely in Rachel's corner here. I'm going to also defend Roger Goodell. As smug as I find his attitude sometimes and his comments odious on various matters, I don't think that you could argue against the idea that he has done a remarkable job, I think, of insulating these owners against any number of scandals and controversies largely over the years. The NFL is still very much basically printing money. So Roger Goodell has written out so many other past scandals. I think that he probably has the odds in his favor on this one, but I don't know. A determined Jerry Jones feels like a force that maybe you don't want to quite go up against.
Yeah, I'm sure that he is a force to be reckoned with, and it does give us something to watch going forward as the NFL season proceeds. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been The Wall Street Journal's Rachel Bachman and The Atlantic's Eric Malinowski. Thanks, Eric, very much for joining us again.
Thanks, Bill.
And Rachel, thanks to you. A pleasure as always for us.
Thanks so much.